Okay, so welcome to the class. Music, education, culture, I think is what it's supposed to be called. my name is Regina Troyer, better known as Gina to most people, so that's what you can call me. Couple things about this class. I would enjoy discussion, so feel free with your thoughts and opinions and questions along the way. I don't prefer to just preach up here. So, also, I have some papers that I'm going to hand out. If you have any questions that you would like to discuss with the class tomorrow, any suggestions you'd have for us, anything you have on your mind about music classes, I'd like to hear about it. So I'll pass those out. You can fill them out, give them to me at the end of class or whenever. I'm just going to be here for a little bit in the mornings because I do have a family. So I'm kind of going to be in and out of here. But I guess if you would want to even just, I could find a place here to tuck them if you want to take some time to fill them out and have my brother-in-law or one of my nephews grab it. So a couple of them are staying at my house, so that'd be pretty handy. And the other thing is, we were talking about, I think it was Monday night, they were a little surprised when they looked at the program again and realized there was three classes. For some reason, some of the board thought there was just two classes, and they'd said three. So they were like, well, maybe we should find out how many people plan to be here Friday, because if it's not going to be very many people, we'll just wrap stuff up tomorrow and be done. So think about that, and I'll try to get maybe a count on how many of you would still be here Friday. I know some people leave Thursday night or Friday, and that's perfectly fine. So. All right. Also, I brought some stuff with me. Well, mainly these things. Maybe this too. That I got specifically for this class. It was stuff that I would have kind of used when I taught music in school. I don't want to take them home. So I'll show you what I did with them. If anybody's interested, I'm going to set them up here later. This is like 10 of them, so I might divide it. A couple people can take them. You can write your names down. I'll put you in a hat and, you know, draw the names out. Whatever. You can take them home. I don't want them once we're done. So, also, I have a couple options of things that I could email you or text you links for. So I'm going to have a sign-up sheet. You can put your name, your email or phone number, whatever you prefer. You can write beside it what you want. I'll kind of go through that list of stuff. So just for some extra things that you can take home with you. So music. Music is, I don't know. It's one of those things that is amazing, and it can be a hard subject too. So growing up, I have always, my entire life, loved music. I sang a lot in a very high-pitched voice. I probably drove my family absolutely crazy. But I always loved music, and we actually had a record and tape player with speakers all through our house. We had a big rambly house, and Mom had speakers, so it was everywhere. You could hear that far end and that far end, everywhere you were except the bedrooms maybe. You could hear music, and that was that in the van, you know, going places. We always had music going. I remember even as a small child taking a little children's songbook, like maybe a We Sing songbook, I don't know, up to my mom and being like, hey, can you sing me this song? And she would. And I would be like, did you know that song? No. And I was like, how did you do that? I was like, you know, someday I want to do that too. And my children do the same thing to me now. And I can only do it if it's an easy song. So I have not attained. But I do love music. And I really have a want for our children to love and appreciate music. Not sure why I'm getting emotional. Maybe talking about my mom. She's not here anymore. And I would credit much of my love to her for music. Sorry. So as much as I love to sing, I did teach here at our church school for 3 years. And as much as I love to sing, teaching music was, honestly, kind of hated it. we had the CLE books for us to go through, and I struggled with them a lot, and my students did not love them either. It was so hard to make them interesting, and anyway, we all thought they were boring, honestly. And I actually had another teacher just recently tell me that it was much the same for him in his classroom this last year. He said, you know, we had some fun music classes, but the books just were not helpful. He said, you know, it was kind of like conversation, the questions were, and he said, I ended up having to just talk my students through so many of those questions, and it was a frustration. So when I quit teaching my regular classroom, my sister-in-law, she was my friend, now sister-in-law, she was taking over my classroom, and she asked if I would come back just one day a week and teach music. I had gotten another job by then, but I thought about it for a while, and I was like, I think I could make that work. And so I offered it to the other teachers, especially for the younger students. So I came back one day a week just for music classes for probably 6 or 7 years then. And I quit then right around Christmas time before my oldest child was born in January. So I kind of didn't have an option to stop. I wasn't going to bring my newborn. So, and he's 5 and a half now, so I feel like I'm kind of out of the school loop. But it's always something that will always be a passion of mine, and is music for our children. So, and I did too, I had a children's choir for probably, I don't know, maybe a year. That was so much fun. I ended up having some health issues then that I had to quit. And then we went straight from those health issues kind of into my husband and I. We started dating and got married in about 4 and a half months' time. So that was kind of all a big whirlwind of stuff. And everything kind of went by the wayside. But anyway, sometimes I still kind of miss it. It was really fun. Anyway, so now I have 3 children at home, and that keeps me hopping. So I'm not really involved in anything musically at the moment. Sadly, I would kind of like to be, but that's okay. My children and my husband and my house, that's my job right now, and that's the most important thing right now. So my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old, they love to sing, and they sing all the time. And sometimes I'll sing with them, and we'll just, you know, make up stupid little words to songs, and they've started doing it, and sometimes it's almost like I'll stick their names in and kind of just like make a story out of the song sometimes. And they've started doing it, and sometimes, honestly, it's a little bit annoying, and then I was like, you know what, I totally brought this on myself. It's totally my fault. And it's actually so good for their little brains to think creatively, which kind of brings me to my next point. Well, actually, that kind of ties in a little bit later. I'll kind of come back to that. But music. Excuse me, I'm going to grab a Kleenex.
Don't expect to be emotional this morning.
Okay, so music, what is music to us? What should music be to us as God's children? And how can we pass on our love of music in our, it's actually a need for music. How can we pass that on to the next generation? To our children, to our school students, how can we pass that on? I've thought about that a lot because, you know, singing is an important part of our church services. If we don't have people that love to sing, who's going to direct our songs in the next 20 years? Who's it going to be? And I know that singing is hard for some people. It does not come naturally, and that's okay. My husband likes to sing. He does not love music. He will never get in front of church and lead music, direct the songs. That's not him. So, and that's okay. Everyone has different gifts, and we need to realize that and be okay with that. But also, you know, even just to teach an appreciation of music, are they going to help to sing in church? What's our singing going to be like in 20 years if we don't teach our students to love to sing and to love music? And I always told my music students, I said, if I taught them nothing else, I hope that I taught them to at least enjoy to sing and to appreciate music. Because that'll probably actually get them further in life than what I can teach them. Because honestly, in school, we had no books that we went through. I didn't. And I learned to love music. We sang a lot in school, especially some of my teachers. But also, the Bible talks a lot about songs and singing. The Lord is my strength and song. You know, and with my song, I will praise Him. It talks a lot about singing to God. It also talks a lot about singing a new song. Does anybody have opinions on what that is? I have been thinking about that a lot the last few days. What is the new song that it talks about in the Bible? Because it talks about it quite a lot. I should have counted how many times. But it talks about a new song, not just a song. It talks about a new song. Does anybody have an opinion on that? What you think the new song is? I know, it's a really good question to start on, isn't it?
It's gonna be like so much better than ours.
Yeah.
And in that way it'll be new.
That's a good thought. I like that.
I don't know, there'll probably be like the same words, but I don't know. We may have a new language.
I like that. Thank you. So I thought about it, and I was like, you know, is the new song, are we called to write new songs? Are we called to be a part of that? Or is the new song strictly for heaven, and God gives us a new song there? I don't know. But I just think that if we can teach the next generation to appreciate and to love music, you know, maybe one of them will have a gift, and they can create music for the rest of us to sing. one of the verses about the new song, it was in Revelations, and it said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the books, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And the commentary on that verse was saying that the song of God's people praises Christ's work. So what He did here, we are praising Him for His work when we sing to Him. And we could go on a whole other bunny trail about the kinds of music and all of that, and we won't do that today. But I think it's important to think about, even with the music that we listen to, if it is, you know, praising Christ's work here on earth, or if it's just a carnal song. And I'm not saying that all songs that aren't godly songs are wrong. I mean, I sing other songs to my children, and I feel like there's a place for it in the music education. I mean, you're not going to get a little repeat song out of Jesus Loves Me. it doesn't work. And there's not many of those kind of songs that you can say, okay, sing this phrase and repeat back to me. You're not going to find that in your little hymn book. So I feel like there is a time and a place for it. It's just something to be aware of. Another place I had read too, that if we know that God is so great, we should want others to know, and it should flow from us and flow from our mouths. And singing is such a great way to do that. But do we truly believe that singing has that much power in our lives? I think we need to think about that. So I feel like in the school setting, it is so easy for music to be pushed off. Well, my children aren't done with their math. They're going to have to take it home. If we do music, we'll just skip it. It's not that important. And why is that? Is math actually going to help them more in life than singing? It's an honest question. I'd like to know. Math isn't going to get them to heaven. So I don't know. And the more I think about, you know, music and songs and, you know, study into it, probably the more questions I have than answers, honestly. It was actually one of my nephews who told me that when he was teaching school, he did not have, music books, so he was allowed to just kind of come up with whatever he wanted to come up with. And he said, which really wasn't a great idea, because he didn't have the time to put into that, because he was overwhelmed with how many classes he was teaching. And he just didn't have time to do that on top of his regular classes, which is an absolute valid point. So I feel like there's a really fine balance of trying to figure out where music fits in our school day. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you what it is. I think it's just something that we need to think about. So I did come back just as the music teacher. A couple of my other friends said that they were either just the music teacher in their school, or they had someone come in and do that, which honestly is not a bad idea, but not every school is going to do that. It's going to be okay with paying one more person to come in for one day a week. But I did have one of my friends tell me that she really disliked music class. She said, no matter what I did, those students just got hyper. And she just hated teaching music class, which is also a valid point. I very much felt more that way when I was the actual teacher. I felt like it was different when I was the music teacher and came in and I could have fun and send them back to their classroom. So that's another thing to think about. So when I taught just the music classes, I started off with the With Glad Voices. How many of you have heard of that? Some of you. So it's based on the Kodai method of teaching music, which is also a different word. Have you all heard of that? Some of you not. It was a fun option for first, maybe second graders. But honestly, I could not get the hang of her second book. And I was like, I'm not going to go struggling through the second book and just blow everything. So, but about then I was starting to realize that there were some real serious holes in my teaching methods, especially with the older children, because I was starting to get more and more of the school. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to be able to teach music forever. What am I going to do? So I started going through the CLE class, the books, and being like, okay, what can we do to make these more fun? Because you look at the books and it's just like, you just feel blank. So I ended up doing the With Glad Voices for first and second grade. First grade, usually finish it up in second grade, and then I would start the CLE books. Speaking of curriculums, I'm just curious. What do you use for music in your school? Do you use CLE? A few of you. How many of you have nothing set up? Oh, good. That's great. What are some other ones? I know, well, what about with Glad Voices? How many of you have used that? A couple of, few of you, okay. And I know Laurel uses Sing for Joy.
Yes.
And that is by the Shenandoah Christian Music Camp. Another one of my friends has taught that as well. It is, from what I have heard and looked into, it is set up very well. It's kind of the same style as the With Glad Voices probably, but it's a lot more detailed. It's much more teacher friendly. And they have videos you can watch on how to teach the classes, the songs on how to sing them. Like, they have a lot of audio, video stuff you can watch, but it comes with a cost. And it's a monthly or yearly cost per classroom per year. And not many schools are going to be okay with that. So, just saying options. Does anyone else, what other things do you use?
I'm pretty sure we did wrong staff in school. I'm not sure I'm going to be teaching though.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm. Is that when it'll be giving steps to music or something like that?
Okay.
First and second grade are together, and then like third and fourth.
Oh, okay. I like the honesty.
Singing school.
Sorry?
There was a curriculum that came out. It's called Singing School.
Okay.
And one of my cousins, he's a teacher, he used that and they really enjoyed it. It was a lot of hands-on. And it was
okay.
Like colored books, like the books are colored. There was a lot of stories.
Singing school.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
I'm going to have to go snoop tonight.
I'm always, wow.
One of my children's little gummy in there too, while we're at it. Mom purse.
Oh, well, that's not working. Okay. Singing school. I'll try to remember that. I want to go look that up. It sounds interesting. Thank you. Anything else?
I know our music teacher, she uses the Glad Voice, or like
With Glad Voices?
But then she also kind of does her own, like, integrates her own into that, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of, like, hands-on, all of that style. But she had her, I think it's first through fourth, and she had him singing, like, notes for, like, soprano, alto, tenor. She had at least three parts in there. So, yeah, she does really
good. That's great.
Yeah, she kind of does her own.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay, well, I'm going to have to go snoop on that one. I'm curious. I'm always looking for better options because I had put it like on my WhatsApp status and maybe somewhere else and just asked people, like, if you were a teacher, please tell me your opinions. What did you use? Did you like it? Whatever. And I haven't found very many people, unless there was an actual music teacher that came in that was like, man, music was like the way to go. And it's I don't know, for some reason, it feels like we don't have as good of a curriculum for music as we do for some other things. All right, I kind of went on a bunny trail. Let's see, where was I? One of my friends has taught school for years, and she's taught first grade for most, if not all, of those years. And she was saying that she does the CLE books, but she does not actually teach them until, like, the end of the school year, until they can actually read. So that was interesting to me, because I've only taught first grade, like, just music. Like, I've never actually taught first grade as the class. And that made sense. She was like, usually she has enough work at the beginning of the year, just trying to get them to sing on key and get them to sing together and that kind of stuff. She was like, there's so much more to work on, you know, at the beginning of the year. Cause she was like, if you don't, then you're all of a sudden at the Christmas program and they can't sing. And so she saves that for later, which I thought was actually smart if you're going to, you know, have the CLE. And when I was thinking about that, and I started remembering, I was like, you know, one of my brothers was very monotone in first grade. I can't remember when he quit. Very good singer now. You never know. But I messaged him last night, and I was like, tell me about that. Do you remember anything from then? Like, when did you snap out of it? What helped you snap out of it? Like, can you give me any tips that we can, like, you know, to teach children to sing? And he was like, you know, it was sometime between first and third grade. He said, but honestly, I don't think I even knew I was singing monotone. And he said, I did love to sing, and so he thought maybe that helped. He said, but who knows, you know? He's like, I mean, everything's a little bit fuzzy from that age. He was like, maybe I was just trying to sing bass. I don't know. Anyway, which brings me to another point. A lot of people do not know this, but boys, before their voices change, actually have better voices than women. And they want to be big, and they want to sing low, and they want to sing like a man, and they cannot. And so that was one thing that I always tried to make a point to do. I had a song from the boys group Libra on my phone. It was mostly a cappella except for the last little bit, so I just didn't let them listen to it. But the first, like, 2 minutes of the song is a cappella, and so I would pull it up on my phone, and I was like, all right, I want you to listen to this. And after I shut it off, I would tell them that it was all boys, and I was like, and every single one of you can sing this way, if you want to. And I was like, so none of this singing bass thing, like, it's for when your voice changes. And honestly, I don't remember that I had super much problem with them trying to sing that low. I mean, every now and then, just to, you know. But I did. I mean, I had between grades 3 and 6, so I did. They sang tenor and alto and tenor and stuff, so not against teaching them parts. I just don't want them to be trying to, you know, growl around in the depths. So first graders that struggle to sing on key, how can we help them? I think even that just the cultures of our homes can make such a difference. Some parents don't love to sing. You know, if it was up to my husband, my children probably wouldn't be singing all the time. He enjoys music, but it's not his thing. He doesn't just love music. And honestly, often the music gets turned off when he's at home. So, you know, but I do listen to music a lot with my children, and we get in the car and they're like, Mom, turn on the songs. And they do it when he's in the car too. It's like, you know, 12 minutes to church, and they're like, Mom, turn on the songs. And he's like, we'll be there in a couple minutes. You don't need the songs on. Like, you know, so it's just different. You know, I grew up listening to music, so I tend to do that with my children, and they love to sing. You know, even my baby, she just turned a year old, and she's caught on. You know, we sit down for a meal, and I often, when my husband's not there, we'll sing a little prayer song for lunch. And she has started, now we sit down, and she, like, grabs our hands and starts in her little monotone voice, like, she knows. Anyway, she can't sing on key or anything, but she notices music too. So I think that has a lot to do with even just, you know, our students coming in, and I think that's something that we're gonna have to work on in our classrooms, because not everyone loves to sing. And so if we can sing with them, I don't remember if I sang with them every day. I do remember that whoever was the student of the day, they had to pick a prayer song at lunch, or they could pray. And then they could pick a song at the end of school, and I made them start it. So they had to care enough to start it, to like not look completely ridiculous. But that's not to say that all of my students ended up loving music. I don't think they did. But I think just if we can care about music and try to relay that to our students and to just get them involved, I think the more you sing with them, the more it comes to them. They will just slowly get better at it. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. So let's talk about some things that we can do for any classroom, no matter what curriculum you're teaching. What are some things that you can do with them to just make it a teeny bit more interesting? I'm hoping actually tomorrow to have some actual like lessons in front of us that we can say, all right, how can we make this fun? Make it a little bit more practical. But what are some things that we can do for any classroom? A couple things that I did with my music students was to teach them the scale with these hand signs. Thank you, Amazon. It is what I wanted, but it is flimsy. Thankfully, it wasn't very much money, but these hand signs here, I had actually learned these hand signs when I had gone to the Shenandoah Christian Music Camp a couple years, and they taught it as like, you do the hand signs and you say like, do, re, major, second. I don't even remember all those things, but I did remember how to do the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do thing. So the hand signs, do, you can find this, this is actually one of the things that I could like send you a picture of, like these hand signs, so that you can like remember them. But there's do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, and do. So you move up. And sometimes I would even, you know, have them like get down lower and just slowly rise up when you're, you know, doing stuff like that. Just like give them a visual of what you're doing. There's also that you can do on your body. Do is your knees. Re is right in here. Mi is on your hips. Fa was just put your hands out in front of you. So is your shoulders. La is your ears. Ti is on top of your head. And then do is just put your hands up in the air. And that is a great visual for them. Why don't you just stand up? Let's do it. Let's start do down here. Do right there. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Sorry, I did that right. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. Okay, thank you. You can actually stay standing. I will hold this here so you can see it, but let's just try to do this. It's easier when you're standing. So, do is right about at your belly button. And then re, you just come up a little bit. Mi, fa, so is right in front of your eyes. La is about the top of your head. And then ti, and then do here. Okay, so let's just try that. So we'll go slow so you can get the hand motions. Do, re, mi, fa. Thank you. You can sit down. And one thing that I also tried to always do with them was to do what you want to do it yourself before you get in there. Practice at home. But you can do it with the motions as well. But where you go like, do, re, do, mi, do, fa, and jump. Do the jump till you get to do, do. And then do the same thing coming down. And it cements more in your mind where you're headed. And even it learning that, like once I started teaching that to my music students, it helped me. And there was a new song in church, and I was like, what's that jump? And if you could find do, you can usually find your note then. So it's helpful for anyone, children or adults. Why don't you do that with me? Let's just try to do that. I was like, well, maybe I should practice this. I haven't done it for a while. Hopefully we can get this. Let's do... No, let's not do the hand signs. All right. Do, re, do, mi, do, fa, do, so, do, la, do, ti, do, 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 ti, do, la, do, so, do, fa, do, mi, do, re. You guys are perfect music students. Another thing that I like for, well, I mean, once you get past about fifth grade, they're going to absolutely look at you cross-eyed. But finger puppets are great. These are just cheap little things off of Amazon. I had some other ones when I was teaching school. But we always would name them at the beginning of the year. I would let my students name them. So, you know, we could have Freddy the Frog and Porky the Pig, and I think this is a hippo, Henry the Hippo. Come up with names for them just to get them to relax a little bit. That was my point. So this is a great way to get them started on, like, singing little solos in front of you, because they're not going to want to do that at first, especially if you blast into this in like third grade and they haven't ever done that before. Let me tell you a funny story though. So first year I did it though with Glad Voices, very much on like repeat songs and doing little solos, and I mean you can do it as solos or all together, but I went heavy on the solos that year for some reason, probably just learning my way, you know. And we got to the end of the school year and some of my students were almost fighting about who was going to sing solos at the school program. And I just had to laugh. I was like, I didn't know it would be such a thing, like that you would actually want to sing a solo, you know, it's kind of terrifying. Anyway, I will say that I do think that them singing solos in our classroom helped them not to be so scared in front of everybody when they were even just singing together. So there is pluses, but maybe just like I learned to back off just a little bit. Like still have them do it, but not like every time. So often, yeah, I was going to try to find a couple songs. I had thought of one and then I forgot to bring it along, so I'll try to do that tomorrow. They're just for little repeat songs. There's that really stupid little children's song, Down by the Bay, Where the Watermelons Grow. I don't know if you guys know that. Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow. And it's a repeat song. And then at the end, you can like totally make up your own stuff. Have you ever seen a frog walking a dog, you know? Anyway, but the first part of it is repeat. And so that, like, songs like that, totally, like I said, it's not your Jesus Loves Me, this I know. I haven't found any of those songs that are great options for repeat songs, I'll just be honest. But to just have them repeat after you, like you sing, Down by the Bay, and they repeat it exactly like you did. And it's going to take some time. They're not going to do it perfectly at first. By the end of the year, they'll do great. You know, and it's sometimes you might have to stop and say, well, let's try again, kindly. But this just gives them something to, like, get their mind off of themselves for 2 minutes, you know. So these are great little, I use them. Better start wrapping this up. Another thing that I would use sometimes is we would stand in a circle. And use something like a bouncy ball. And if everybody knows the song, you could say, okay, whoever the ball gets thrown to has to sing the next phrase. Or we would do stuff like that sometimes. Or if it was a repeat song, sometimes I would be like, okay, I'm going to throw this ball to you. You're the one that has to repeat, then throw it back to me, and I'll throw it to someone else. So that also works. Like, it kind of keeps them on their toes a little bit. Also, I sometimes would use money. And I was actually going to bring some fake money, and I forgot to go look for it. For teaching notes, which we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. But I would give them like $1 for a whole note. And then like, especially you can get more of them if it's like fake money. But the 50 cent coin for the half note. Quarters for the quarter note. And then I would do like pennies or something for the eighth notes. Just to show them, like, you can do it, you know. Have the dollar bill up here. And then, you know, your two half dollar coins. And then, you know, your four quarters. And then your pennies down here. To teach them the kinds of notes, you know. There's two half notes in a whole note. There's four quarter notes in a whole note. There's, you know, eighth notes in a whole note. And it kind of gives them a visual, like, you know, you can say, well, how many eighth notes are in a quarter then, you know? And it kind of, you can connect kind of the money, especially with the older ones. You're not going to get do that with first graders, probably, unless they've been learning about money. But if they've been learning about money, this is a great way to teach them the kinds of notes. Also, I didn't see if it worked on this board. They're a little bit loose. I didn't love that. These things are supposed to be magnetic. I had other ones when I was teaching. I don't know if these will actually stick. They're not sticking. Okay, we'll get sticky ones. Because these are supposed to be magnetic, the board and the parts. You could actually just do, you could have your students do it for art class if you wanted, and then just put little magnets on the back. But I sometimes would do this for the beat of the song, to teach them the beat of the song, like your heartbeat. It was one of the things that I got out of the With Glad Voices. And I'll actually get into that a little bit more tomorrow. We don't have time today. How I use these hearts for the beat. But this is some of the stuff that I use in my classes. If I think of anything else tonight, I will try to bring that as well. But that's a real bummer. I had left my music stuff here at the school in case anyone else wanted to use it. And I have no idea where it's at. But now I guess I should go rambling through the classrooms and see if it's hiding somewhere. But yeah, so tomorrow I want to have some actual lessons that we can kind of go over and be like, okay, because, you know, it's like, oh, you can have all these great ideas. You can go to music camp and you can take their education classes, and then you come home and you still open up that CLE book and it's like, wait, I can't do any, how am I going to connect it, you know? So it's great to have great ideas, but it's also great to like see an actual lesson and be like, all right, this, we can work with this, you know? So that's what I want to talk about tomorrow. Oh, quickly, how many of you think that you'll be here Friday? It's going to depend kind of how I do my class tomorrow, depending on if I, because if there's not going to be very many of you Friday, we're just going to skip that class. So how many of you think you'll be here Friday? Okay, half maybe, a little over half. Okay, I'll talk to John and Conrad and we'll go from there. So, okay, Thank you, and hopefully we'll see you again tomorrow with some more ideas. Oh,